This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know, when we were at the fish fry last Friday, no, that's a lie. It was at Kilmeade on Saturday. I had a listener that came up and said, and this has happened before, they said, I know you put the list of your bumper music on Twitter every day, but why don't you just do like a playlist? And I said, yeah, I should. Other people have said that to me too, and I've never done it. But I started doing it this week. So this is the Mavericks here. Sue and I love the Mavericks. So I will publish the list at the end of the show, and I've also put together a Spotify list of all the bumper music from each day that you can access.
Nice.
Right. And this was a guy that said that he had picked up some songs. There's like one or two
That's
people
great.
Out there that love my bumper music stuff. But
That's
no,
nice.
I am putting that together, so it's kind of a fun thing to do, and you'll see it at the end of the show. I put it up usually in the 5 o'clock hour sometime, maybe even right after 6 o'clock. Fred is back from Japan. We're very excited about that for a variety of reasons. He will be at the Fish Fry tomorrow. Let me plug that. It's at Queen of All Saints off of Christopher Drive. And we're going to have a lot of fun starting at 3 with a live roundtable. Sue's News Live in the 4 o'clock hour. George Gray, the voice of The Price is Right. In town, he'll be with us for The Price is Wrong. But Fred was just in Japan for, what was it, about 10 days?
Yeah, about 10 days.
And I didn't want to, you know, open the show and run out of time, and we don't have as much time in this segment. So after Sue's News, we've created an entire segment. And I literally haven't even asked Fred about the trip today because I want to find out on the air. So we're going to do that here in just a little bit. I thought this was kind of an interesting story. You guys can tell me what you think. I was very encouraged. By this was a headline in the Washington Post the other day, something near and dear to my heart. Swearing is linked with increased pain tolerance and strength. Yeah, look at that. Researchers are working to understand exactly while swearing may help in a number of circumstances, with a major focus on pain and how it can be more effectively used in clinical setting. Did you talk about that on Sue's News, or maybe Ethan did?
We talked about around it. It was something about people who like to swear, but it wasn't tied to pain.
Okay. Maybe that's why Democrats are swearing all the time now.
It could be.
Because I remember Ethan even saying something along these lines, but basically if they said, and they've done research on this, and let me just guarantee you that we've probably funded this research with our tax dollars, they kind of go into the scenario like if you stub your toe or you do something like that. I mean, for me, I'm definitely dropping an F-bomb and probably multiple. And they essentially say researchers have determined that it actually could help you a little bit more. Pain reduction through swearing. They've done some studies. I'm rolling with this, guys, because I like profanity so much. But here, look, in addition to pain tolerance, swearing has been linked to bolstered social bonds, improved memory. I'm going to say that's not true. An alleviation to the social pain of exclusion or rejection.
Uh-huh.
Neurologically, the pathways for physical pain and emotional pain are the same. So when you have heartbreak, it's the same neural structures, it's the same biological blueprint, and that's why it feels so visceral, because it literally is. So there you go.
Huh. Fred, if you stub your toe, do you curse?
No.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday, I don't know if someone ratted me out. I'm sure they have. But I did a topic yesterday in the 4 o'clock hour with Ethan, and Alex was here, and Matthew came in. And it was just a ridiculously kinky, inappropriate story that I was very honest with the audience. I said, "There's no way."
Wanted to do it while I wasn't here.
Yeah, or Fred, because I knew. Because when I sit here, I could tell. Like, if I did that story yesterday,
what was it?
It was a woman who wrapped a guy in Saran wrap and he died. But the guy actually asked for it to happen. He wanted to be wrapped in Saran wrap. He didn't necessarily want to die. Eh, it happened, but she's being charged with murder. It actually is a really interesting case.
But he asked about it. Well,
see, you want to hear it now, so you want all the kink on the show that you claim that you don't want.
Did she get?
No, he died though. But it's a very it is an interesting legal case.
What do they call that then?
Well, it really
involuntary manslaughter.
See, that's the thing. It sort of hinges on whether or not because she was granted permission to do a lot of things, but not to kill him, right? So there's a real thin legal line. So that's why I included it. Plus, it was kinky, and I wanted to do that on the show when you guys weren't here. All right, let's do Sue's News this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You remember a couple of months ago when Rebecca Reardon got on AI and designed a Sue's News t-shirt.
I do remember that.
And we thought, oh, that's cute. Mike Prank, he wanted to do that last week. And he designed one. This is my Michael. And he liked it so much, we thought it was so cool, that he actually had some made.
How many did he have made?
Oh, maybe 10.
Yeah, but these are pretty nice.
So I present to you, and Ethan's stroke of genius on the back is brought to you by Sue.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, great.
Well, so even I have a t-shirt for each. Are you a medium? Or are you? I know Fred's a large because we just went through this.
I'm a medium.
That's you.
That's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, so we have a few of these if you'd like to see them. Fred, I've got one for you, too.
Okay, perfect.
But he thought, man, these are kind of cute. I'll just go ahead and make
I love
some
the back.
Of them.
The back makes it,
it
for
does.
Sure.
Right.
It totally does.
So these are going to be in high demand tomorrow. You may have to bid on one of these t-shirts.
Well, I don't know if people care about that, but for us, I thought it was pretty funny.
I love it. They're really good looking. Wait, did we, if you want to look at the camera here. I'll hold it up to the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the washing instructions after it's inundated with fish smell?
I think it's probably the normal.
Good question.
That's a fair question. You guys, on this day in history, 41 years ago, in 1984, Rat released their debut album.
What a segue, by the way, from Sue's News t-shirts to this. Yeah, there you go.
They're not good. Okay. I mean, they're just not. This was it.
I don't know that I can argue with you on this one.
It was 1984, and this is what we had. Okay, but I thought, I'm going to pull this off YouTube today. I'm going to look at the video. Okay, Milton Berle is in this video.
Wow. Really?
And dressed as a man and as a woman.
Wow, he was ahead of his time, wasn't he, Milton Berle?
What? And it took me a while. I think it's Milton Berle, so you're going to have to look and tell me if that's right, Fred.
Okay.
But I think it is. Anyway, what? Why is Milton Berle? And who in Rat knew him? It's just bizarre. 41 years ago.
Yes. Now, Milton Berle appears in the music video for Rat's song. Oh, this is for Back No More.
So well, not no. It's in Round and Round, too.
Okay. Well, this one says something differently.
Oh. Well, I swear I saw
here. Okay. No, I believe you. I mean, the internet, we'll challenge the internet. Apparently, here's the connection. Marshall Berle, Milton's nephew, managed the band.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. That's what happened. Huh. That makes sense, though, doesn't it?
Wow, that's nuts. He's really good at it. He's funny. I mean, he doesn't say anything, but he's Milton Berle, and it's
kind of
entertaining.
Yeah, you know what? In the top of, this is what's wrong with the internet. Like, if I go to the AI overview, I don't even know what that is, because I just Googled it. AI interview. It just says it's on the song Back for More. But if you go down to Wikipedia on the Round and Round song, it says, the first thing it says, Milton Berle was in the video.
So bizarre.
That is wild.
Well, okay, here was the music in 1984, because also on this day in history, the Scorpions released their 9th album.
I didn't realize I had to stay with the hair rock here.
Oh, yeah.
I would say I would put the Scorpions in a different category than Rat. I really would. But that's just me. Yeah. I like the Scorpions.
Of course, this is Rock You Like a Hurricane, Still Loving You, and this one, Big City Nights, which we don't hear as often.
I like it. I like that you went with the deep cut.
Thank you.
Remember, I was talking about like deep cut Thursdays, so it kind of fits on this Thursday.
Well, we have a top five baseball questions that people have been Googling as we approach opening day.
Okay. Will the Cardinals ever get back on track?
Okay, I'm going to see if you guys know what this stuff is. What does P.O. mean?
Put out.
That is right, Fred.
I paused on that.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, Fred, because Fred's like the guy that keeps score still. Do you still keep score today?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Joe and Scott, when Jennings comes into town and we go to games, they do the same thing. They love doing that.
I don't use P.O. anymore for put out.
Oh,
when I was a kid, everything was go, like ground out.
Right.
Foe, fly out. As I got older, I learned the numbers.
Okay, good for you.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, it's short for put out. If you record an out by catching a ball, tagging a runner, or stepping on a base, it's a put out. It's a put out. Throwing someone out at home is an assist. The catcher gets the put out. Okay, how much do minor league players make? I have always wondered this.
I have a very specific answer.
Okay, ooh, I'm ready.
Very little.
That is true. Can you give me a number?
I don't know the number, but, you know, it's pretty low. Like, it depends on Class A, AA, AAA, though.
Let's say 60 to 90,000.
How about I don't think it's that high, is it?
20 to 36.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty low.
20,000 to 36 a year, depending on the league they're in, just like Mark said. It used to be less. They got a raise in 2023.
Keep in mind, a lot of these guys, you know, like if you're a really, really big talent and you get signed to an organization, you'll get a signing bonus, right? But then you're not making a lot of money until you get called up to the big leagues, and your contract certainly is structured around, you know, the period you're with the team. It gets very specific. Like someone like Frank could explain this to us, but you know, the clock starts ticking if you bring someone up when it comes to when they'll then become a free agent, if that makes sense.
Wow, that's interesting.
I know with the River City Rascals, and I know that's an independent league, not really minor league, I guess, or kind of just a different sort of minor league. When they're in town, there's a fan that always makes pies for each player.
Are you
and brings
kidding
me? The pies to the players, and the players eat it up. They love it.
Wow, I had no idea. All right, how heavy is a baseball? It varies a little. But the rules say this is what people have been Googling approaching opening day. I'm not going to make you guess, but the ball cannot weigh less than 5 ounces or more than 5 1/4 ounces. So it's just right in there, 5 to 5 1/4, and it can't be more. All right, let's see if you know this one. What does OPS mean, Fred?
On base percentage.
On base plus slugging.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I get confused.
That's where I'm not more. Yeah. I would have gone with what Fred said. It combines your on base percentage with your slugging percentage, or basically how many extra base hits you get. Fantasy baseball nerds find that helpful. You don't do that, but only for football. Is that right,
Yeah, I've
Mark?
Never done fantasy baseball. Is really, really complicated. You know who does that? Our friend Josh Crossauer, who's one of our political experts. He does fantasy baseball all the
time. Good grief. And how long are baseball games? Of course, people are Googling that. Not as long as they used to be, people. The average hit an all-time high of 3 hours and 10 minutes in 2021. Then the pitch clock arrived. It has gotten down to 2 hours and 36 minutes. So it's 34 minutes faster.
I love the pitch clock personally. We had questions about it, obviously, but I think it's been something where a lot of us have said, why did we do that before? Because these games, look, this is happening right now in college basketball. We're about to enter another night of the NCAA tournament to get into the Elite Eight this weekend. There's some great games, by the way, on tonight. But these games, because of the way they're reviewing so many of these calls at the end, they're going 2.5 hours sometimes. That's too long for a basketball game. And I think they know that. I think the NCAA knows that.
Yeah. Well, they'll figure it out.
Well, the football games, they go 4+ hours. I mean, easily a ball game.
But no one seems to care about that.
Again, some of this they might not complain about because it's added revenue, especially for football.
Oh, well, that's true, too. Netflix is developing a live-action Scooby-Doo series. Now, here's the thing. I like Scooby-Doo. I love it. Love it from when I was a kid. But do I need a modern reimagining of it? And live action, I don't like live action cartoons. Am I just old? That's possible.
No, I mean, this is one of those things. When's the last time we had demand for Scooby-Doo? I guess they're trying to hit a new generation.
Well, how long ago were the actual live action movies?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was
20 years ago.
20
maybe.
Years, right?
Oh, yeah, wow.
That's probably right. But here's the premise. During the final summer at camp, old friends Shaggy and Daphne get embroiled in a haunting mystery surrounding a lonely, lost Great Dane puppy that may have been a witness to a supernatural murder. I kind of like that. Together with the pragmatic and scientific townie Velma, and the strange but ever so handsome new kid, Freddy, they set out to solve the case. We'll see.
The one with... there's a couple of them out there, but I remember this one with Matthew Lillard and Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar and Linda Cardellini was a great Velma. That's the thing. I loved her as Velma. I don't know if I liked anything else about it, but that was 2002, so that's how long it was.
Oh, see, I would not have guessed that.
25 years ago, or 23.
They say they've done a new poll finding that the average restaurant tip is 18.9%.
That's about right.
I just always do 20. I guess it's an average of people doing 20 and 15.
25.
You just do 20, 25, and you're done.
Right.
Right? Well, Delaware leaves the biggest tips. Here's what state leaves the worst, lowest tips?
Mississippi.
Nope.
I don't know.
California. Those rich sons of guns are terrible tippers. And even if you're the best server in the world, 7% of people will never leave a tip. I don't even comprehend that. Millennials are the biggest tippers at 19.5%. Gen Z at 19.3%. Gen X, 18.2%. And the boomers, unfortunately, 16.4%.
Yeah,
come on, people.
Well, the older generation, for whatever, I've shared stories about this before, for whatever reason, they have not been into tipping as much. But look, I'm a 20, 25%, 15% if the service isn't very good.
And with me, you know, I'm usually at 20% unless something's really bad.
Same.
But both of my sons are always over that when they tip.
Are they? That's impressive.
Yeah, especially when they're using my card.
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, generous of them, isn't it, Fred?
Yes, it is.
Since they don't have to pay for it, no wonder. All right, and finally in Sue's News, we do have today's random fact. I'll go baseball. A single Major League Baseball only lasts about 6 or 7 pitches, and then it's over.
Isn't that amazing?
That's nuts! Yeah. No wonder they have to make so many. And that's it for Sue's News.
It's really shocking because they throw ball. I mean, if it just gets like a speck of dirt on it, they have to have a new baseball, right? That's what we see on a regular basis. All right, there you go. Random fact for Major League Baseball opening day. The Cardinals in action at Busch Stadium this afternoon. The game was delayed, which is why you're listening to us. Don't pay any attention to that until after 6. Is this inappropriate to play?
I
wanted
love
to go with the theme here.
It.
This is the Vapors turning Japanese. This is a hit in the early 80s.
Yeah,
remember this one, Fred?
Oh, yeah.
Fred is just back from his trip to Japan, and I wanted an entire segment here on the show so we could hear about it. So if you missed the beginning, we barely touched on it. We were talking about some of the travel difficulties, but we were wondering how the trip was. We loved the picture dumps that you were sending.
Oh, good.
At least for
good.
The first couple of days. Then we thought we lost you on Mount Fuji, and you were never coming back, I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I overdid it early, and then I got tired at the end.
It happens,
I should have paced myself better.
But truth be told, you were a little, maybe just a little anxious going into this whole experience, right?
I was, and there was no reason for it. It was the simplest thing ever. It
Who
was
tried
wonderful.
To tell you that, Fred?
Did you?
Yeah. Sue did.
And
Sue did, for sure.
The rain jacket came in very handy.
We saw it in the pictures.
Yep. I wore it a lot in the first half of the tour. Second half, it was chilly. No rain at all for the second half. So it was just a great time. A lot more fun than I anticipated. No awkward moments. I mean, nothing scary at all.
What were you anticipating, Fred? What was your fear that you thought?
Lots of language difficulties.
Oh, okay.
Lots of food, things that I wouldn't like.
Fred is not an omnivore. Is that fair?
I'm not adventurous when it comes to food. Let's say that.
And how did you do with the food? Okay, because I'm assuming you ate like real Japanese cuisine.
I didn't turn anything down. I tried everything.
Nice.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's really
a lot
good.
Of people wouldn't do that.
And a lot of times I didn't know what I was eating. And if I didn't like it, I didn't eat more than, you know, that first bite.
Okay.
But I went to a Japanese, I went with my wife, Marie.
Yes.
And Marie and I went to a Japanese cooking class.
Oh, I love this.
Early on. And we were, you know, taught how to make a bento box, which I think, you know, involves sushi and some sort of teriyaki chicken and an omelet.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I actually learned how to cook.
Would you do sushi? Like, do you eat sushi here on a regular basis?
No.
I didn't think so.
Uh-uh.
But you liked it there, or did you?
No, but I ate it. No, but I tried it.
Well, that's good.
I tried it every time it was given to me, to be polite, and it showed up like at almost every other meal.
I have a question. Does Marie like sushi?
You know, Marie loves sushi, and she ordered a rice cooker, and she ordered the sushi mat.
Telling
when
you,
we got home,
the rice cooker
was there. She was making it last
yep,
night.
The rice cooker is the deal, man.
It is the deal. It makes it. It elevates everything.
Yep.
Question: did she love the sushi? Was she like,
oh,
this
she
is
did.
The best? Because those of us who do are probably.
Oh,
I mean,
fresh,
this
right.
is like
yeah,
the
did.
Ultimate.
Yeah, it was. It was great, according to her.
Okay,
she loved it. We had a couple ordering difficulties. Like at one restaurant, you know, I use Google Translate a lot because I know I wanted to point to stuff, but Marie said, no, use Google Translate and act like you know what you're doing. So I thought I ordered like chicken five made or chicken like cooked five different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when it came, I was eating it and it turned out to be five different parts of the chicken.
Oh, my
So it was like
gosh.
Chicken feet.
Which makes a little more sense, maybe.
Yeah, right, right.
Wait a minute. Chicken feet, no thighs, not a nice leg. What else did
no,
you?
No. Just the oddest
But was that
parts
good?
No.
Oh.
No.
That wasn't good either.
No, but, you know,
Wait,
I sampled
it. What were the five
it.
Parts, Fred? Feet?
Oh, I can't remember. But
Eyeballs?
There's like, if you looked at the menu, there were like 20 different chicken parts that they had available.
Dang.
And I got the best of the five worst.
Did you know that
it was... It was fun.
But did you know five parts after you ate it, or was it before you ate it?
Oh, I knew like on the first part, I think, was just a regular, normal piece of chicken that I know.
Okay.
The second piece was definitely very, very chewy with gristle. But, you know, I'm not sure, and I'm not dissing it, but, you know, it wasn't my taste.
But I'm always curious on the... Japanese or maybe the Chinese, the Asian culture in particular, very different than certainly
yes.
here and Europe. So culturally, like one of the things that we talked about, and maybe you even brought this up, but I know that Sue did, there's no trash cans, right?
Oh my
out
gosh.
In public.
That's amazing. No trash cans in public, no litter in public. I didn't see one piece of litter the entire 10 days I was there,
but
anywhere in
the
country.
One of the reasons they don't have the trash cans, they don't want people taking litter out anywhere. Is that part of it? That's what
could
you know, it's been explained
our
to me.
Our tour guide said part of it was they did away with all the trash cans when the G7 came and when the Olympics were there, that sort of thing, to get rid of possible
bombs yeah.
and that sort of thing. They never came back. But if you order at a restaurant, like to go, people that get it, and there's lots of Japanese food stands everywhere, they just stand right next to the stand and eat it while there, and then hand the trash back to the people, and then they throw it away at their restaurant or their, you know, at their stand. But no trash cans anywhere, and in the bathrooms, no paper towels to dry your hands. A lot of times, just rinse your hands.
Do they have dryers or not?
Do they? Yeah,
some half of them had dryers. Most did not.
Fred, talk about the women's restroom.
Oh,
this
the
I
women's,
found
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, the women's restrooms. I think on pretty much all of them, even the public ones and the hotel ones, definitely, you know, they all have bidets and heated toilet seats.
Oh, my gosh.
And in the women's room, they are part of the bidet because our tour guide said Japanese women have shy bladders. They don't like to go in public. So they have a button that you push and you get the sound of a stream. So it masked the sound.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Of women in the bathroom.
Really?
I guess
yes.
it was in the men's room. I didn't check that out.
So
that was really funny. And that was like everywhere you went.
Well, some women I've traveled with, including me, will go into the bathroom and you just turn on the sink or the faucet and that will cover what you're doing. So I understand that, right? I mean, I get it. But I didn't realize
the whole country did that. Trying to cover up the sounds that are coming from the stall.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes if you're in the bathroom or if you're on a trip with multiple people, it's your turn in the bathroom. If you turn that on, they can't hear what you're doing, whether it's on the toilet or anything else.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the anything else would be.
Tried that trick before.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I put myself in that position to try that trick, but that's
interesting. But you can hit a button and it does that? That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And you would hear it. I mean, it was continually running. Like, there was never a line for a men's room. Always a line, like over here, for the women's room.
Yeah.
But you could hear the sound continually coming out of the women's restroom like a flowing river.
That's
so
awesome.
What else culturally do you notice? Like, you were sending a couple, I don't know, I guess you were in Tokyo, but you sent a couple of videos early on where, you know, the streets were bustling and there's hundreds of people crossing the streets.
I visited the Shibuya crossing in downtown Tokyo, and I think they've got about, at one crossing light, there's on an average of 1,500 to 2,000 people cross a time.
Each
every
crossing.
2 minutes.
That's what it looked like.
Right.
I believe
it's like just ants going everywhere.
Right.
and they cross in all directions, all the traffic stops, and you've got, you know, a minute, everybody crosses. And I think they say have like 300,000 a day cross at that intersection.
Holy
and it's
cow.
Right by one of the busiest subway stations there.
Fred,
which I
go
also
ahead.
Rode the subway
Ooh.
During morning rush hour.
Clean?
Yeah, very clean.
Of course, everything's
very
clean.
But in morning rush hour, very jammed. You know, you see those pictures how they jam people into the...
Yes,
they
yes.
push them into the... Very true. I mean, there were people standing outside the subway, you know, guards or watchkeepers with gloves on. They didn't push people. I couldn't tell because I was stuck in the middle. So maybe they were pushing. But, I mean, you were nose to nose with the person next
Ooh,
to you.
I don't think I'd like that.
Maybe that's why everybody wears masks.
Do they find...
Everybody was wearing masks, though?
I would say 50% of the people were wearing masks.
Interesting.
It was pretty high.
Yeah.
Do you think the trash thing, do they fine you if you have trash? I mean, that must be refreshing to see. Is there, like, graffiti?
You know, I didn't see any graffiti. I did see some homeless. Not much homeless. We saw a few congregating underneath a bridge. And our tour guide said, well, they've got rooms for them, but they choose not to do it. They
well,
want
that
to
happens
live.
Here.
They want to live, you know, under the bridge.
How is Mount Fuji?
Mount Fuji yeah. was wonderful. We even took I guess it's called a ropeway, but it was a tram
Ooh,
that
neat.
You got into. And it was big enough to hold maybe 20 people. And it would pull you all the way, as far up the mountain as they will let you go.
So where do they let you, when they go up there on the tram, then do you have an area where you can get out
yeah,
and walk around
a viewing
and stuff
area
like that? Right.
And a gift shop. Everything's right up there. So, and Mount Fuji is just beautiful from any angle. It's beautiful.
Fred, do you just stand out like an American? Are you taller than everybody?
I was going to ask
you
that,
know
too.
What I mean? Are people just like, you know, staring at you?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
People were very polite.
Okay.
The people I met in Japan, not a lot of them knew English, like shopkeepers, but they would try to help you. And I didn't know much. I only knew a couple words of Japanese, but we managed to get by. I was with a tour group of maybe 25 people. So we had each other to talk to, and we had our tour guide that would help us a lot. Rode the bullet train.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was very fun. I mean, that was going over 200 miles an
yeah.
hour. And you have to get on it so quickly because they don't stay at a stop very long.
Wow.
So that was interesting because we had like all run in it as fast as we could.
Was there ever an opportunity to get any kind of feedback, maybe not with the language barrier, but from people just in their perception of what's happening over here, either with Trump or anything along those lines? Did you ever pick up any local, opinions of what we do here?
No,
okay.
I did not.
I think they're too polite.
Well, they might be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, everybody on the tour was talking about certain things because they
sure.
were from all around the country that was on this tour. But we didn't talk to any of the Japanese, and I guess the conversation would have been hard about that. But no one didn't.
Fred,
no one
did. What was your favorite thing? What struck you the most? What did you think? Oh, wow.
I had fun doing a Zen meditation class at a Buddhist temple.
Love this.
Where the Buddhist monk would come around, and during your meditation, he had a wooden paddle and would slap you on the shoulder.
Wow.
As part of the tradition to designate like the Buddha telling the bad thoughts to get out of your head.
Mm. Oh my gosh, that's
awesome. So that
this is
was kind of
like,
interesting.
This is kind of like that reality show, The Traitors, that I was talking about with Alan Cumming. He does that too. He goes around, he taps people on the shoulder.
There was also a community bath.
Oh.
Naked bath.
Did you do that, Fred?
I did not. I call me, shy, but I didn't want to sit around. With a bunch of naked men.
I don't want to sit around with
even
naked
though
people,
you were staring at the top of Mount Fuji.
Well,
so I mean, Marie did it with the women.
Well,
and she said
her.
it was amazing. It was like one of the best experiences
she
ever had.
Wait, hold on. Slow down.
Okay.
You're saying that you had the opportunity to go out and bathe with a bunch of naked men at Mount Fuji. You resisted that temptation, however, thrilling it might have been. And Marie chose to bathe naked with a bunch of women on Mount Fuji, just to be clear
yes,
here.
Yes, thank you for that, Mark.
Yes.
Okay,
and there it is.
And
if you looked at our tour group, nearly every one of the women on the tour group did it. Yeah.
That I don't know.
I'm
would you do that, Sue?
No.
Gosh,
although, I mean, maybe I'm really swept away with the moment, but yeah, today I say no.
I wasn't there, so I'm not quite sure what goes on in
like,
that.
Like, totally
I don't typically bathe with naked people anyway, so why would I do it on Mount Fuji? I don't know, maybe like you said, the moment.
Yes, maybe it's the moment.
I think so.
Wow.
I'm impressed. I didn't do that. I saw a geisha performance, which was kind of interesting.
Interesting in a good way, Fred. That sounded like there was something more to it.
It was just a little odd.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not my custom.
Right. Yeah,
but
right.
it was good to see it. Went to a authentic Japanese tea ceremony.
Ooh, that's fun.
Which was really kind of fun to sit there and see what was going on.
I want to go back to food for just a second. What were the breakfasts like?
Oh,
were there different breakfast
okay.
items?
So, each hotel was different. I never ate breakfast outside of the hotels.
Okay.
Because of our schedule.
Yeah, sure.
Of the schedule. And at the last hotel where we were for four nights, they had two restaurants, the Western-style breakfast and the Japanese-style breakfast.
Yeah.
And the line for the Western-style breakfast was maybe 100 people deep.
Uh-huh.
For the Japanese breakfast, you walk in.
Love it. So you walked in?
Marie walked in
that
every day.
Girl.
I did the Western breakfast every day.
Was it fish?
Yeah, what was she having? Do you know?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what it was. But it was always. And they had the same options over on the Western side. But you also had waffles and
right.
Yeah,
right.
So that was the good part there. Dodgers Cubs were in town.
Oh,
they were just starting when you got there, right?
That's right. And I didn't get to a game, but we drove past the stadium when the crowds were out front, and that was really cool to see. As you walked around over that whole week, outside of being at the ballpark, I saw so much Dodger gear. Hardly any Cub gear, and Shohei Ohtani was on every billboard, every magazine, every commercial.
That's really cool, Fred.
Oh, and before we go, can I present you guys with your gifts? Do you have a second?
Did you hear that?
All right,
sure.
All right, so here we go.
Gosh, yes!
I was in Japan, so naturally, I had to bring you both back some chopsticks.
No way! Oh, Fred, this is so fun.
Well, first of all, I love chopsticks, and I use chopsticks.
Looked for the prettiest ones.
Yeah, these
are so cool.
Mark,
they're nice.
Thank you.
I gotta tell you, this was my easiest gift. Every hotel room gave you a pair of slippers.
Oh, look at that.
You got to wear.
And
so
I got some slippers from Japan.
Fred, these are so cool. These chopsticks are awesome.
And Sue, I got you some. I probably should have thought more, but it's really ornate.
Ooh.
But it's little I think it's chocolate candies.
They're
made
so
like
cute.
Geishas. So that's really cool. And then for Ethan, he's not here, but it was
thanks,
just
Fred.
Every newspaper.
Oh, that's
you know,
awesome.
It's just filled with
Shohei look at that.
Ohtani.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome.
And it's just everywhere you went.
Well, Fred, I'm just going to tell you, I appreciate the gifts. We have to break because we have Dennis Hancock coming up. But in
these
your honor,
so cool.
I'm going to put these slippers on, eat a little sushi, and bathe naked with my neighbors tonight in High Ridge. So
great.
Thank you for that. Dennis Hancock's coming up. Well, I've done a terrible job of managing this hour's clock, and I don't have a lot of time left. But I've had a fair amount of people reach out to me and ask about Proposition B, which is on the ballot in St. Louis County. And even though we don't have a ton of time, I wanted to get Dennis Hancock, who is my councilman, on the air this afternoon. To talk about this. How are you, Dennis?
Doing well. It's a busy afternoon here, too, in Clayton. We've just came out of a committee meeting, and we're getting ready to start another meeting here at the top of the hour to look at the vetoes that the county executive sent down earlier this week. So,
well, what is Proposition B about? And one of the things, you know, I saw an editorial about this in the local paper today, and they said, you know, they admitted that Sam Page, King Page, is a bit of an issue here with his power grabs, but they said none of that justifies what amounts to be your power grab on the council to force Prop B onto the ballot. They say it will give council members open-ended authority to fire department heads appointed by Page for apparently any reason or no reason at all. Now, I'm old enough to remember and recognize that the Post-Dispatch gets things really wrong a lot of times. But what's this all about, and how would you kind of spin that?
Well, what my response to that is that power today is invested solely in the county executive. He can fire any employee for any reason whatsoever. It doesn't, you know, these are at-will employees that we're talking about. And so he can fire them because they come in one day and doesn't like the way their hair looks. Today, he can do that, but he's the only one who can do that. And if someone decides to be a bad actor or do things that they shouldn't be doing, if he chooses not to do something, and a great example is the story that broke earlier this week about the health director forcing an employee to let them look in her car for something. But there's been no action taken against the health department director for her actions in that, or in her actions in lying about there not being a plan to euthanize all of the animals in the animal shelter that later came out. So, you know, the council today can do nothing about that. But with Proposition B passes, if the county executive refuses to take action, we can then take action.
But how would this differ from, let's just go to Washington right now, where the president can certainly fire a fair number of people with his executive orders, but Congress can't necessarily do that because of the separation of power. So how is that different?
Well, I liken it more to, you know, our local municipalities. There are 85 municipalities in St. Louis County. The overwhelming majority of those have this ability where the legislative branch of the local governments can terminate employees. Typically, it's done in conjunction with the executive. As far as the federal branch, federal government is concerned, I believe there are employees that can be removed by Congress if the Congress chooses to do so.
So if this passes, then the council can take action, but it's only in a situation, and this is where I think there's certainly democracy at play, only if 5 of 7 council members agree. So that would be a pretty high bar still.
It's a supermajority of the council.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's what it would take to do that. So it's not something that, you know, I'm going to come in one day and say, we need to get rid of this person, get a couple of my buddies to go along with me, and we do it. It takes a lot of convincing to do that. And especially when you're talking about terminating somebody's job. You know, that's not something that you take lightly. And I was a mayor for 12 years, and we terminated a few people while I was there. And it's never an easy decision. It's not something that we take lightly, and it's not something that I think that most people take lightly. Yeah. So,
you know, it is significant, though, that you need 5 of 7, which is why I wanted to get that in there, because I think that might change a lot of people's opinions. Well, that is on the ballot. If you haven't voted yet, you have an opportunity, Election Day next week. Dennis, I'm sorry I cut the time a little short here, but we did want to get information out about that issue because I've had some requests. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem, Mark.
All right,
anytime.
Take care. Senator Schmidt is coming up after the top of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.